You're listening to WGXC Accra. What up, Hudson Catskill? 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Morning Show, and today we will hear from Brian McCormick, the co-executive director of the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, speaking with WGXC's Randall Martin and Kim Singletary. We'll also hear the public news headlines from around the nation, and we'll hear the Catskill Maker Syndicate's local Better Weather, plus radio news about solar weather storms. It's all on the WGXC Morning Show after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves.
Controlled.
On air, in air, channel.
Connection.
And the moon
turns to blood.
A stream runs through.
This is the network.
Network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This
is the network.
This
is the news.
This
is the network.
On Saturday, April 23rd, turn out or tune in to hear the band I Heard It on the X perform at the track at Boom and Bloom, the record and flower shop in East Durham at 2176 Route 145. It's Record Store Day, and the shop is having the band in to perform an homage to early ZZ Top. The band features ex-drummer of the Scissor Sisters, Patty Boom, and drums and vocals, and he hosts the Vinyl Freedom Show every other Tuesday at noon on WGXC. You can go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about the show. And you can also tune into a live webcast and broadcast on 90.7 FM. Of the show Saturday, April 23rd, 5 to 7 p.m. at the track at Boom and Bloom, the Records and Flower Shop in East Durham on Route 145 with I Heard It on the X on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that a judge in Steuben County, April 18th, appointed a special master to draw new congressional district boundaries as the legal challenge to the legislative maps drawn by the state legislature continues to make its way through the courts. Judge Patrick McAllister named Jonathan Servus of the Institute for Politics and Strategy at Carnegie Mellon University to draw the new lines. The same judge last month ruled the maps should be redrawn after ruling they violated the state's constitutional amendment against partisan gerrymandering. Ryan Whalen is reporting former U.S. Representative John Faso, a Republican, said the appointment was a good sign. Quote, I looked at his bio, his resume, and he appears to have the requisite experience and knowledge to be able to undertake this task. So again, we're really encouraged by this, unquote, Faso said. Michael Lee, a redistricting expert for the nonpartisan organization Brennan Center for Justice, also believes Servus looks like a good choice. Quote, he is, I think, very qualified and well-positioned to do this, assuming that he gets cooperation from the parties and he gets access to all the data and the like, unquote, Lee said. Democrats have argued the lines were drawn fairly and will be upheld. Both sides have indicated the matter will likely go to the Court of Appeals, the state's highest court, regardless of the outcome of the appellate division arguments this week. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Natasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Green Media that an April 9th town meeting led to at least 3 positive COVID-19 tests. At least 10 people attended the meeting. And Cramtown Supervisor Art Basin said, and I quote, the meeting was the 9th. One person tested positive and advised everybody else. We all tested and 3 people tested positive in total. I haven't heard of any serious complications. It all was very mild. I believe people are quarantining and just following protocol, end quote. Ankrem had stopped requiring masks in town hall, but now does after the outbreak. The Columbia County Department of Health reported 41 new positive COVID cases on April 18th. Department of Health Director Jack Mabb said, and I quote, we're elevated, but I don't necessarily see anything continuing to spike. We know flu cases have spiked in the state, and why have they spiked? I think the masks do work to ward things off. If people want to wear them, they should be encouraged to wear them, end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Alan Wexbrin is reporting for The Hollywood Reporter that Stockport resident and international counterterrorism intelligence expert Malcolm Nance is now fighting Russians in Ukraine. Nance has also been a longtime MSNBC on-air terrorism and national security analyst since 2007. In an appearance on Joy Reid's program on April 18th from, quote, a secure location, unquote, Nance announced that he had joined the, quote, International Legion of Territorial Defense of Ukraine, unquote, a Ukrainian version of the French Foreign Legion. For 15 years, Nance has appeared on a number of shows to discuss intelligence, insurgency, and national security-related topics. An MSNBC spokesperson this week denied that Nance is a contributor, though it is not clear when he parted ways with the network. He was identified as an MSNBC analyst on air as recently as February 28th, after Russia's invasion of Ukraine had already begun. Nance said on Reid's show this week, quote, the more I saw of the war going on, the more I thought, I'm done talking, all right, it's time to take action here, unquote. He said, quote, I am here to help this country fight what essentially is a war of extermination. This is an existential war, and Russia has brought it to these people, and they are mass murdering civilians, and there are people here like me who are here to do something about it, unquote. Read more about this story at thehollywoodreporter.com.
Mid-Hudson News reports that traffic increased on all 5 Hudson River bridges in 2021 over 2020. The Rip Van Winkle Bridge, linking Greene and Columbia counties over the river, went from over 5.1 million crossings in 2020 to almost 5.8 million in 2021. Likewise, the Kingston-Rhinecliff Bridge went from 6.7 million to 7.6 million trips. The Mid-Hudson Bridge increased from 11.8 crossings to 13.3 million. The Newburgh Beacon Bridge increased from 21.3 million to 24.4 million crossings, and the Bear Mountain Bridge went from 6.4 to 7.2 million crossings. 2019, before the COVID-19 pandemic, was a record year for traffic on the five bridges, and traffic remained below those levels in 2021. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting for the Columbia paper that Hudson Junior Senior High School went into a shelter-in-place for roughly 2 hours the morning of March 29th as a result of a fight between two students. Jacob Homrada, the student representative to the Hudson Board of Education, reported on the incident to the Board of Education on April 5th. A fight between two students in a classroom spilled over into the hallway. Homrada said, quote, "I was right in the hall when it happened. It was really scary," unquote. As one of the students was being restrained by Sheriff's Deputy Brian McSween, a pocket knife fell from the student's pocket. According to Superintendent Liz Marie Spindle, quote, "At no time was the pocket knife purposefully or threateningly pulled on any individuals," unquote. But the knife was confiscated, and the building went into shelter-in-place mode, quote, "to keep hallways and common areas clear while the situation was addressed," unquote, Spindler said in a March 29th message to district parents and guardians. Quote, "Additional law enforcement officers arrived at the school to assist the investigation," unquote, and to determine when it was safe to resume the normal school day. While officials waited for the student's parent to arrive, everyone else had to stay in one place while they got up to got the clear sign, Hamrata reported. Quote, "It was the right thing to do, but it put a lot of fear into everybody," unquote, he said. Quote, "They thought it involved more than a pocket knife," unquote, he added. Spindler said the district is looking into ways to prevent similar situations in the future, including camera upgrades and a mobile app that would allow students to immediately and anonymously report possible threats. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
Larry Rulison is reporting in the Times Union that National Grid won't be able to fully heat and power upstate homes and businesses with all renewable fuel sources until 2050. And National Grid is not going all electric, as environmentalists recommended, but will continue to rely on pipelines to transport biogas and green hydrogen. National Grid's New York president said, and I quote, "Biogas is generated largely from the off-gassing of cow manure at dairy farms. We see this as a more affordable pathway than all electric," end quote. Currently, heating homes and buildings generates 39% of all the greenhouse gas emissions in New York. The switch will be slow for National Grid, too, as by 2030, National Grid will only get 20% of its heating gas from renewable sources. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, partly sunny, then gradually becoming sunny with a temperature high near 51 degrees. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 33 degrees. And on Thursday, a chance of showers mainly after 2 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 56 degrees. And Thursday night, a chance of showers before 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 42 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You can get high with the radio on Wednesday, April 20th on 90.7 FM, including at 11 a.m. Mayuka Fujino is live in the WGXC Acres studio with Mirage Station. Then at noon, after the local news, it's time for Driftless Turmoil, this week with tracks from Clipping, Drone Operator, and Jason Krumer. At 2 p.m. on Rock and Roll Radio, tune in Chick Chick Chick, ZZ Top, and Secret Machines, among others. Then the Hudson Valley Congressional Report is featured at 4 p.m. on the radio. on the WGXC Afternoon Show live from Accra. Then at 7 p.m., we're live from New York City with the Off the Hook Show, simulcast from WBAI, featuring the Hacker Quarterly 2600 and their technology talk until 8 p.m., when it's time for Rock and Roll High School with Anya Kanevskaya this week. And at 10 p.m., we're live with Snack Point Charlie, Jeff Economy's show out of Ulster County. And at midnight, we have another 2 hours of live music from Ulster County with Peter Aaron's Go Go Kitty show, simulcast on Radio Kingston and also on 90.7 FM WGXC until 2 a.m.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Saturday, April 23rd, turn out or tune in to hear the band I Heard It on the X perform at the Track at Boom and Bloom, the record and flower shop in East Durham at 2176 Route 145. It's Record Store Day, and the shop is having the band in to perform an homage to early ZZ Top. The band features ex-drummer of the Scissor Sisters, Patty Boom, and drums and vocals, and he hosts the Vinyl Freedom Show every other Tuesday at noon on WGXC. You can go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about the show, and you can also tune into a live webcast and broadcast on 90.7 FM. Of the show, Saturday, April 23rd, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Track at Boom and Bloom, the Records and Flower Shop in East Durham on Route 145 with I Heard It on the X on 90.7 FM WGXC. If you wonder about the Albany Hudson Electric Chair, there is a special exhibit at the Hudson Area Library from May 7th through June 30th. The exhibit features the interpretive panels along the Albany Hudson Electric Trail and historic images from the Electric Park, an amusement park at the Kinderhook stop of the old rail line that is now the Electric Trail. There is an opening reception for this exhibit in the Hudson Area Library's community room on May 7th at 3 p.m., and there's more details on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org about this event and many other community events that you may want to attend. And you can even put your own event up there. Click on Add an Event at the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. And soon enough, you'll hear your event on the radio or find it online at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Hello and welcome to the Better Weather for Wednesday, April 20th. Early morning temperatures range from 29 degrees in Mackey to 40 in Kingston. Soil temperature is coming in at 45 degrees. And it is definitely going to be nicer than yesterday. It's looking dry with a high of 56 around 4 p.m. Conditions will be chilly for most of the day, so dress in layers. Overnight, we see a low of 34 happening around 5 a.m. Tomorrow we get some rain in the afternoon and a high of 59. 44 degrees overnight takes us into a dry Friday with a high of 64. Overnight we see a dip to 40 degrees. Saturday, dry with a high of 58. Sunday, we'll have a wet morning and a high of 60. Pollen levels for today will be low and due to increase into the weekend. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:21 a.m., high tide at 6:08 a.m., low tide again at 1:10 p.m., and high tide once again at 6:50 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 48 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:26 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:03 a.m. Looking way up, we see an active local star. Sunspot AR200394 blasted out an X2.2 class flare overnight. More activity is expected. Solar wind speed is currently 514 kilometers per second at 7.2 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 68. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Podcasts get made locally at WGXC.org, as all WGXC's locally produced programs can be subscribed to and found in all the usual podcasting places. Tune in for a mind-expanding radio from local news to a travelogue of sounds, either live at 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of SJ of Great Barrington, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Brian McCormick. He is with the Sanctuary, Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, co-executive director, and also with him joining us for our conversation on this topic is the community organizer for the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, Ms. Elvira Garcia. So snaps and claps, our audience is clapping for y'all. You don't hear them, but they're out there clapping and they're shouting and they're just excited and they want you to know how much they're looking forward to our conversation today. So first of all, we say welcome to you. I know Randall said he knows you, Brian, way back well and all that kind of good stuff, but we just met and I'm glad that we did. You're on mute, so I'm going to need you to come off. And
yeah, you guys are both on mute. I'm asking you to unmute both of you guys. Yeah, me and Brian go way back. Great, tremendous guy. I haven't met Elvira yet, but the organization is just incredible. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. Thank you all so much for having us on today's show.
It's our pleasure. And how are you, Elvira?
Hi, I'm good. How are you? My name is actually Elvia, but thank you so much for inviting me. Well, yes, Randall, I actually think we've met before. We might have. I've been on the show for the Latinx Festival.
You were. When she was saying your name, and you know, I didn't get it. But yeah, Elvia, I understand. I recognize that name.
Listen, I'm going to put a disclaimer on there. I'm sure I typed in Elvia, and Google wanted to correct me, okay, and put that R in there. You know how Google do.
Yeah, technology. It just messes everybody up.
But you know, before we go further, I would like, and we give our guests the opportunity to do a self introduction. That you can share what you'd like out. Listening audience, some will be hearing you for the first time, and some may have been working with you for a while, and they'll say, oh, I never knew that. So if you just do a 60-second self-introduction and tell the people who you are, not what you do, we'll get to that in a minute, but who are you? We're going to say ladies first. Elvia?
Thank you. So yes, hi everyone. I'm from Skodak, New York, so I'm on the local side. I'm first-gen immigrant, a Chicana, and Mixteca. And I really got involved with the movement because this really is my life. I love advocating for immigrants. It's part of my life. I've had to do it since I was a young child. And so now I'm here really advocating for the community, right? For my people. So I'm here today. I love to bike. I don't know. I just started to bike today. So here's a little fun fact about me.
Okay. I tip my hat to you. These knees don't let me do it no more, but I'm with you in spirit. Brian, how about you? A little self-introduction of who you are.
Yeah, of course. So my name is Brian McCormack. I grew up in Columbia and Greene County, graduated from Hudson High School and then Hudson Valley before continuing to Northeastern University. And I think that my time studying and going to school in Hudson, living in Hudson, and especially my time playing soccer, which I still do today, has really contributed to my love and passion for diverse cultures and equality of people. So shout out to everybody locally who went to Hudson High, grew up in the area, and came back to put your passion in practice locally.
Excellent, excellent. My son also attended Hudson High and played football there. Back in the 90s, yeah. And then he also attended Hudson Valley. So, you know, those 1 degrees of separation, right? So today we're here and we want to talk about the sanctuary movement, which I believe in Hudson started about 5 years ago. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. So act like, you know, nobody out there knows what y'all do and tell us about the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. That's open to either one of you.
Yeah, of course. I'll take this one as one of the co-founders. So I moved back to Hudson in 2015 after a period of being away, both for college and then starting my career as an organizer. And when I came back, a lot of the families that I grew up with, as well as families who had moved to the area while I was away, we're experiencing injustices in the community, especially around to discrimination and issues with immigration and just lack of support linguistically, et cetera, for predominantly Latinx immigrants, but all of the immigrants in the area. So we started conversations and for remember those conversations were just that. We were just talking about it until October of 2016, when we realized 45 had the opportunity to potentially become president. And one night at dinner, my now fiance, another direct and two other directly impacted community members decided that we really just had to step up and do something about it. I know Randall knows one of our co-founders, Juan Sanchez, who's super well known in the community as a wonderful human being and artist. So basically after that dinner, we just started more serious conversations about forming the organization. And we, in 2017, in February, we were kind of launched into the spotlight of making that organization even more formidable, because the first Trump era immigration raids happened in Hudson and actually targeted my fiance's family. And so that's how our deportation defense programming started within the organization. Since then, we've grown into a powerhouse.
So the very first raids under his administration happened here?
No, I was just saying the first raids locally were targeting my fiance and co-founder's family. So it really hit close to home and activated the organization in a way that it hadn't been before. And at the same time, we were campaigning for the Welcoming and Inclusive City order, which happened, and we won in Hudson, which prevented collaboration between local police and immigrants.
And Pastor Eileen Weglards and Pastor Captain Belkey, they were also working very closely with you. I think the First Presbyterian Church, the First Episcopal Church, why can't I think of the name of the church? They were a sanctuary place, right?
Yeah, both of them, actually. The sanctuary movement actually originated in the 80s. And it was strongest in the southwest of the United States, but the idea was to provide sanctuary for mostly South and Central Americans who were fleeing conflicts that the United States was actively involved in, such as Nicaragua, Guatemala, El Salvador. The United States played an active role in overthrow and therefore would not recognize political asylum. So the sanctuary movement started then, and it was actually a faith-based movement. So in honoring that tradition, we've always been keen on building coalition with interfaith organizations, churches, et cetera. And they've been a super important part of our community and movement since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. And I'm glad you brought that point out, because people would expect me to bring it out. So glad you did. in terms of, you know, what you all do, I think there are like five program areas, and Brian did speak about the legal defense part or legal support. Elvia, can you talk about some of the other program areas? You're the community organizing person. Yeah. You're on mute though. Okay.
Of course, yeah. So a lot of what I do is community organizing, which is really getting the community members involved in some of the campaigns that we're working on that actually are affected by our directly impacted members. A lot of the campaigns that we work on actually are issues that our community members come to us about. And we're only really start a campaign only because our community members, there's enough community members in our community that have the same issue, right? And one of the community or campaigns that we're actually working on right now is a language justice campaign. And within the last couple years, we've actually been working on a campaign called the Fund Excluded Workers campaign, which we'll share a little bit more today. A lot of what we do is talk to our community members, hear a little bit more what's going on in our community. How are we going to solve these issues that our directly impacted members are facing every single day?
Now, Brian, I have a question. You years ago, one of the things that made you famous in our area was that viral video in which you were in a vehicle and you were stopped, and you had two occupants, and it wasn't the police, it was the immigration, right? Homeland Security, and it was a whole question of what they have the authority to do and not do, and you were able to really state clearly the law to them and what was permissible and what was not, and by knowing it and executing that, you were able to have them to continue on your way without being interrupted. Is that still an issue that people are facing in the sanctuary movement, like being stopped and being asked to do things which are not legal or not things that they are even permitted to do?
Yeah, so I appreciate you bringing that up. Randall speaks to one of our program areas, deportation defense, which is Know Your Rights. So we believe that our community has the power to defend themselves. Our mission is to organize with immigrants and allies to collectively support, empower, and defend ourselves or our communities. Elvia spoke a little bit to the community organizing portion, which is the empowerment portion. And we really think the defense portion comes down to knowing your rights and being able to exercise those rights in practice. So in that particular situation, I was bringing two community members from court to their attorney's office. I was pulled over by ICE and Hudson Police Department, even though Hudson Police Department were not supposed to be collaborating with ICE at that mm-hmm. time and currently. And the immigration officer presented a Department of Homeland Security warrant, which is not a judicial warrant. It was signed by the same officer that was speaking to me, and the pen that he used to sign it was still in his hand. So that program area still continues. We still do Know Your Rights trainings. I would say that especially that year, there were multiple other instances. So we had one of our members prevent ICE from entering her house after taking a Know Your Rights training. We had another infamous incident where ICE was trying to get into Casa Latina. They had took somebody outside of Casa Latina, and our rapid response network turned out 30 people to stand between the restaurant and immigration officials, and they weren't able to go into the restaurant to try to take anyone else. With that being said, raids have been less frequent under this administration. The situation that happened in that video, going back to the organizing side of our work, later that year, or the following year, actually, 2020, we won legislation called the which provided a pathway to hold immigration accountable if they were to try to continue to do raids at New York, inside New York courts, which is what they were doing. They were preying on the court system and taking people before they were convicted of anything. So while there aren't as many raids, I can say that there are still instances where people call immigration, where local police departments, including Columbia County Sheriff's Department, collaborate with ICE, even though they're also supposed to be prohibited from collaborating with ICE because of the non-cooperation policy that was passed during the police reform process. So while, you know, we believe that ICE has been, and we've seen that ICE has been during this administration, we still understand the importance of Know Your Rights and still understand that regardless of what party is in power, there's always going to be deportations.
Now, you mentioned a legislation, but the name of the legislation, but you got cut off. So we didn't hear it. Can you?
Yeah, of course. That specific legislation was called the Protect Our Courts Act. Okay. And that was to prevent ICE from continuing to do raids at courthouses throughout the state of New York.
So, Brian, let me ask you, in the instance where there is cooperation from local law enforcement, what is a recourse? Is there any recourse, you know?
Yeah, so we have been tremendously successful at working with community find attorneys and share their stories with with the sanctuary movement and collaborate with organizations such as the New York Civil Liberties Union. So there has been instances where we've used these situations to change policies within police departments. Depending on what happens during the incident, there could be some recourse in their actual legal case. But our goal is to prevent them from happening in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I certainly remember that video, as Randall mentioned it. I remembered that video and then introduced to, you know, how you all were in educating people about their rights and how to advocate and stand for themselves. So snaps and claps to you for that. The accompaniment and family support. Can you tell us about the Mano a Mano Mutual Aid Fund and other parts to that? Either of you?
You want to take this one, Alvia, and I can fill in?
Yeah. So the Mano a Mano Fund was actually a fund created by our community. It came during the times of COVID, when we saw that a lot of our community members weren't necessarily able to receive any of the benefits that were being given out. For example, the stimulus, or unemployment benefits. Because a lot of our community members are undocumented, are cash economy workers, some of them do not apply for those types of benefits. We saw a lot of our community members reach out for help. And that's when really Mano a Mano had been created. It was a fund created by the community for the community. And we really started dispersing money for our community members around Columbia and Greene counties. And that's a little bit more about it, but we know that, for example, we know that that's not the larger solution. The larger solution for this issue, we're only a smaller organization, right? We gathered many applications from around the state for this program, for this fund. The real issue is that there really isn't any sort of support for anybody that's excluded. And, you know, the state really should be providing these types of help to everyone, regardless of citizenship status. So that is really when we started to advocate more for a campaign called the Fund Excluded Workers Campaign, which was a fund that is for anybody who was excluded from an unemployment relief during the pandemic or stimulus. And that's a little bit more. I might have missed a couple of things. I'm not sure if you wanted to add in anything, Brian.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So just like a little bit more about the impact of Mano a Mano and our mutual aid programming. So we've distributed over $150,000 in mutual aid since April 2020, when we created this fund. And we also launched our mutual aid food programming, which is called Comida para la Gente, and food for the people. And so we've distributed over 325,000 pounds of food to date through that program. And then just touching a bit more on the systemic solution, we are part of the statewide coalition called the Excluded Workers Fund. And in last year's budget, we won $2.1 billion in the New York State budget for undocumented and excluded workers, most of which are essential workers and helped us get through the pandemic. We were asking for more than that because we knew that there was a substantially larger pool of workers that would qualify for it. And we were proven correct. So unfortunately, 9 weeks after the program was launched, all $2.1 billion was distributed. An estimated 120,000 workers throughout the state of New York who were excluded again. So 75,000 of those folks had applied to the fund and were denied simply because lack of funding. So we continued the campaign this year for replenishment of that fund. Unfortunately, legislators think that the pandemic's over. And for many of them, they probably have the luxury of feeling that way too, because they aren't essential workers like our members are. So given that experience, we have continued a campaign for a permanent program, not just a pandemic relief fund. And that program is called the Excluded, and that would create a permanent unemployment program for excluded workers in the state of New York. We did receive a substantial amount of support for that campaign this year, and we are confident that we will be able to use that power and transition it into next year's legislative session, and between that time to really get what, not a helping hand, but get what our members deserve. They have the right to these funds. They should be treated equally. Because they're also humans just like everybody else, and even more so because they're essential workers that have put their bodies and lives on the line to get us through this pandemic.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The Russians have already stepped up their missile and rocket attacks, and it's having, you know, quite destructive effect. And I think this is going to get much more intense.
Former CIA Russia Analysis Chief George Beebe on the developments in Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The Pentagon says it estimates that Moscow has added thousands of troops to the country in recent days. Russia declared on Tuesday that it's now on the offensive for control over Ukraine's industrial heartland. President Joe Biden responded to a district court ruling striking down a CDC mask mandate for public transportation. His comments came as he briefly spoke with reporters during a tour of the New Hampshire Port Authority.
Mr. President, should people continue to wear masks on planes?
That's up to them.
Moderna announced Tuesday that a new version of the company's COVID-19 vaccine appears to provide stronger, longer-lasting protection against coronavirus variants. Preliminary results show the so-called bivalent vaccine appears to produce high levels of antibodies. Vice President Kamala Harris says the U.S. will no longer conduct anti-satellite missile tests, the practice of using ground-based missiles to destroy satellites in orbit around Earth. Speaking at Vandenberg Space Force Base, Harris called on other countries to make the same commitment.
These weapons are intended to deny the United States our ability to use our space capabilities by destroying our satellites.
A National Labor Relations Board judge has ruled that Amazon must reinstate a former warehouse worker and owed him back pay for discriminatory discharge. Gerald Bryson was fired for protesting safety conditions at the beginning of the pandemic. What could unionization efforts by Amazon and Starbucks employees mean for the future of labor movement in the U.S.? Century Foundation senior fellow Stephen Greenhouse noted the trend Tuesday on C-SPAN.
The floodgates opened up, the dam broke. So now we've seen workers at over 200 Starbucks petitioning to hold union elections.
A judge has ruled a group of Georgia voters can proceed with their case against Georgia Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene that seeks to disqualify her from congressional office over her alleged involvement in the U.S. Capitol riot. The Biden administration on Tuesday said it will now require federal agencies to conduct an analysis of the greenhouse gases that could be emitted over the lifetime of proposed infrastructure projects, as well as how climate change might affect new highways, bridges, and other infrastructure. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
The Churchtown Dairy at 357 County Route 12 outside of Hudson hosts a Dandelion Festival on April 30th. The Dandelion Harvest features food, live music, a gardener's talk, face painting, children's story time, pizza, and much more. Find out more about the first annual Dandelion Festival at the Churchtown Dairy, April 30th, on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, where you can list your own events that'll be read on the radio and seen around the world in the WGXC community calendar at WGXC.org.
matter with that cat there?
Must be full of reefers.
Full of reefers?
Yeah, man.
You mean that cat's high?
Sailing.
Sailing?
Sailing lightly.
Can you get away from here?
Man, is that the reefer, man?
That's the reefer, man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he's lost his mind.
Talking to that reefer man.
Reefer man.
Have you ever met funny reefer man?
Reefer man.
Have you ever met funny reefer man?
Reefer man.
If he says he walks the ocean, anytime he takes a notion, then you know you're talking to the reefer man.
Hey, cats, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I just left the V-Disc Studios. Here we are in Harlem. Everybody's here but the police, and they'll be here any minute. It's high time, so catch the song. Here it is.
Say, I dreamed about a reef of 5 feet long. A mighty mess, but not too strong. You'll be high, but not for long.
If you're a viper,
I'm the king of everything. I gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta be high before I swing. Let the bells ring, ding, dong, ding.
If you're a viper,
say you know you're high when your throat gets dry. Everything's dandy. Oh, yes, you run down to the candy store. Bust your conch on peppermint candy. Then you know your little brown body's scent. You don't give a darn if you don't pay rent. 'Cause the sky is high.
So am I, yes, yes.
Yes, I vibe a bit. Well, I'm gonna vibe a bit on the 88 now. Oh, stop it, darling. I didn't know you cared. That's enough now. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me dream now. That's a killer. Yes, baby. better next out on the sidelines than my wife's in here tonight. She don't vibe either. You know, get away. Are you kidding? Oh, dear. Say you know you're high. Yes, I know I'm high. 'Cause everything is fine dandy. Yes, gone down to the candy store. Get me Wrigley's or some spearmint candy. I love it, I love it, I love it. Yes, baby, but my body's saying, I ain't worried about no rent. Get away from me, you hussy. Yes. Sky's high, so have I. I'm all laid out, relax. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Viper.